This is Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. I'm joined on the line by my co-host, Dr. Danielle Schurer of the Medical University of South Carolina. The metabolic syndrome is present in roughly three-quarters of patients with obstructive sleep apnea. A paper in the New England Journal of Medicine this week adds evidence to the continuing question of whether treating sleep apnea with continuous positive airway pressure, or CPAP, would affect any of the several abnormalities that characterize metabolic syndrome. Our guests are two of the study's authors, Dr. Surendra Sharma and Dr. Deepak Damodaran of the Department of Medicine at the All India Institute of Medical Sciences in New Delhi. You studied patients with moderate to severe obstructive sleep apnea who were not receiving therapy for any of the components of metabolic syndrome. And then you treated them with either 3 months of CPAP or sham CPAP, followed by a one-month period of no treatment, followed by 3 months of the opposite type of CPAP, either sham or actual, that they didn't get in the first round. So tell us what happened when you measured the primary outcome, which is the number of patients whose metabolic syndrome was reversed.
It's Dr. Deepak here. We combined both the patients in both the arms, actually, and we had 86 patients who initially underwent the auto CPAP therapy. And we found a significant decrease in the prevalence of metabolic syndrome in these patients. We found that the frequency had the components of the metabolic syndrome were brought under control and reversal was achieved in 13% of patients while on CPAP therapy. Now, this is in stark contrast to those patients who used sham CPAP, in which we found only 1% change, reversal of metabolic syndrome. So we believe that CPAP therapy in these patients who have moderate to severe sleep apnea, when effectively given over a period of 3 months, can actually produce a significant reversal in metabolic syndrome.
Yeah, I would like to add, Surendra from this side, Delhi. I would like to add that if this is the duration was 3 months here, but if we prolong the treatment, the duration of treatment, it will have a more positive effect. That means that will be reversal of increased proportion of patients with metabolic syndrome.
So, Dr. Sharma, you think that the 3 months, if you were to extend it for a longer period, you would have more patients with reversal of metabolic syndrome. Is that right?
Yeah, I feel that the benefit is going to be greater if we use for a long period of time. But this was the study design, which was aimed at only for 3 months.
Yes.
But we had the placebo arm so that we cannot go for a long time.
And there have been other studies similar to this looking at the effects of CPAP on some of the components of the metabolic syndrome, and other studies have had more mixed results. Can you help our listeners understand what was different about your study and what parts of the study outcomes you found were surprising?
For one, the population, the sample size of our study is much larger than any of the previous studies that have been done. In fact, all of them were focused at individual components of metabolic syndrome, but nothing, there were, as we had mentioned, only two studies which looked at metabolic syndrome as a whole, and one of them turned out to be uncontrolled. Mm-hmm. So all the studies threw up so many questions as to what exactly is metabolic syndrome and obstructive sleep apnea and what their relation to each other is. So that's made us do a comprehensive study. Total number of, I think the biggest advantage we had was the sample size of 86. Mm-hmm. And also using a crossover design, effectively doubled our sample size. And the follow-up, most of the studies, if you look at the previous studies, you would have a follow-up which is significantly lesser. This is one among the longer follow-ups of 3 months. Unfortunately, due to lack of time, we could not follow up for further. But extrapolating on the results that we have here, we think that longer durations would definitely be beneficial. So to basically summarize, I would say that the sample size being significantly larger than the others, as well as the duration of the study, gave us two major strengths to comprehensively demonstrate the relationship relationship between obstructive sleep apnea and metabolic syndrome. The one surprising result that we did find in this was that HOMA-IR, not really insulin resistance, that is, not really improving with CPAP therapy. One, we put that down to that HOMA-IR not being a very good measure of insulin resistance. Okay. In fact, we did find a significant improvement in HbA1c, which is a more comprehensive and longitudinal measurement of glycemic control. Our study results are slightly contrasting to that of Chinese study results as done by Dr. Ip et al. They did find a significant reversal in insulin resistance as well, which we didn't. Probably there are ethnic factors here between the two study populations. So that was one really surprising thing that we did find between our population as well as the previous results. But this is in concordance with our previous study results, where we did find that insulin resistance was more associated with obesity rather than sleep apnea per se.
Can you talk a little bit more about how the patients tolerated the CPAP? Because that obviously is an issue in real practice outside of a research setting.
Exactly. It was a major issue with us as well. The patients did require a lot of motivation to continue with therapy, despite mm-hmm. which we had at least two patients in each arm dropping out of the study because mm-hmm. They were not able to tolerate the CPAP therapy. I think this was a very controlled setting. Perhaps we cannot generalize this to the real-world situation. Because there is a significant dropout rate, and we always find it difficult to convince patients to use CPAP for prolonged duration. But those patients who have derived the benefit, who found a reduction in excessive daytime sleepiness, as we measured using the Epworth Sleepiness Score, they were especially adherent, and they demanded that we prescribe them CPAP even after the study was completed. So we had a lot of people who were basically CPAP converts, and a lot of people who still refused to use CPAP, who were a little wary of using the modality of treatment. So I think in a real-world situation, we would have to have very good counseling to go along with therapy.
Right, so you can't just say, here's your machine, I'll check back
yes.
in 3 months. The other finding I thought was interesting was some of the physical changes that you found, such as the abdominal circumference, which shrank, and the BMI, which went down. I actually thought these were pretty impressive for a relatively short intervention. Did you expect those findings, or did you?
Yeah, actually, usually what happens that when you treat these patients with CPAP administration, they become more alert the next day. And the daytime sleepiness, et cetera, decreases. So they are more active, and they actually tend to lose weight also. Mm-hmm. Actually, if we prolong the duration of treatment, then certainly it's going to have more effect on body weight and anthropometry parameters. And here also we did find this. The only fallout of this finding will be that if they are more active, they are not getting into daytime sleepiness, then they will socialize more and they may get into alcohol consumption, etc. So this may be fallout of their more alertness during the next day.
One other question that I was hoping you could clarify. There were some patients who actually developed metabolic syndrome while on CPAP when they started without it. Can you, and granted the numbers were relatively small, but what's your theory on why that happened?
Metabolic syndrome is a constellation. So you're looking at about 3 out of 5 parameters being positive.
Uh-huh.
So many a time these patients did have something like 1 out of 5 or 2 out of 5 positive, even at the time of intervention, like they did have deranged blood sugars or blood pressures.
Yeah.
As a part of the disease progression per se, as we said, we have not started them on antihypertensives or any diabetic medications, nothing more than basically the dietary modifications and probably exercise advice that we give them, which was given to all patients. So many a time the disease progression per se propelled these people who were not metabolic syndrome positive, that is, they had less than three factors positive at onset. So over a period of 3 months, a few of these parameters did get deranged. So that was what propelled pushed these people from being metabolic syndrome negative to positive.
Okay.
But as you can see, the numbers are significantly lesser as compared in the control arm. In the treatment arm, which is auto CPAP, as compared to the placebo arm.
Sure. Yeah.
I would like to add here, actually, that usually we, for the constituents of metabolic syndrome, we like to give oral medication also. For example, if there is a dyslipidemia, we like to treat dyslipidemia, and we like to have vigorous exercise at the program for these patients who have low HDL cholesterol. And for this, actually, I will suggest that the public should not have a message that this is only CPAP. But I will suggest that in addition to CPAP administration, they should also actively work on their dietary management and lifestyle change, which should be advised appropriately.
Right, and still medically manage dyslipidemia, the hyperglycemia, et cetera.
Yeah, hypertension also.
The paper wasn't clear as on one point that I'd like to ask, and that is when people were on CPAP and their metabolic syndrome disappeared, when they were, and after the washout and they were on sham CPAP, did they revert to having the metabolic syndrome?
They did, actually. The number was quite insignificant. Many patients who were on auto CPAP and they became new metabolic, so to say, did revert to being metabolic syndrome positive while on sham CPAP.
And now, what can clinicians do with the results who have patients on CPAP? Would this be motivation for them, for the patients, to be compliant with the therapy? I should say, do you think that these results need to be confirmed before we started to trumpet that this is a sure way to reverse your metabolic syndrome?
Patients who presents with obstructive sleep apnea, they should be actively screened for the presence of metabolic abnormalities, oblique metabolic syndrome. And if it is present, then they should be vigorously treated. The other way around, actually, if they have only metabolic syndrome, obesity, no obstructive sleep apnea, then they should not be prescribed CPAP. So the main message actually will be awareness among physicians to actively search for, if they have obstructive sleep apnea, then they should actively search for metabolic abnormalities, oblique metabolic syndrome.
Just I'd like to add that CPAP is just one more treatment modality in our armamentarium against metabolic syndrome, okay, apart from antihypertensive, anti-dyslipidemics, and oral hypoglycemic drugs.
It did seem to have an effect on hypertension, a fairly good effect on hypertension. And so I wondered whether people with hypertension without sleep apnea would benefit from CPAP. But I'm hearing that you don't think that would be a wise approach to take.
I would like to respond, Dr. Sharma, actually, from Delhi. Actually, I think most of the studies which have been done on association of obstructive sleep apnea and hypertension, There is no doubt about the efficacy of CPAP, but I will put a word of caution here that if they have very significantly high blood pressure levels, then actually they should be, in addition to CPAP, they need to be put on medication also till the time their blood pressure is significantly under control. Then it should be seen that they should be given adequate counseling and for persistence with CPAP administration. Maybe that in future, actually, they may require minimal medication or no medication for blood pressure lowering. But effect of CPAP on the hypertension due to obstructive sleep apnea, this is, is resolved as of now.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Sharma and Dr. Damodaran, for talking with us today.
Our pleasure.
Thank you very much.
That was our 139th edition. Earlier podcasts are available at podcasts.jwatch.org. This podcast comes to you from Journal Watch. which is an excellent way to keep up with clinical research whose implications affect how you practice every day. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adore Yano. I'm Joe Elia. Join us next time. For myself and Dr. Danielle Scherer, thank you for listening.